right, welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. It is it seems like a rare home edition of the podcast because the Wizards have been on the road seemingly for, I don't know, weeks, months at a time. I don't know what's going on, but we're back. They played the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. They won.
Woo!
Positive. Wasn't exactly the most pleasing game in the world, but they got the win. Scott Brooks seemed relatively happy, so we'll talk about that, of course, here with me at a home game. Who else would it be? The man, the myth, the Washington Times superhero, Todd Divas. How's it going? You've been traveling since I physically saw you last.
I was traveling. I was doing a lot of things.
Would you prefer to be called Washington Times Todd Divas or pool reporter to the stars Todd Divas?
I'll take the latter.
Okay, yeah,
that's a nice ring to it.
You got some pool reporter action in LA, but we're not going to talk about that. We got things to do. The Wizards did win 93-87. The way I see it, Ty, we got four things to discuss. They won the game itself.
Correct.
Two, John Wall played.
Correct.
He's been out 9 games. He was played. Three, Markieff Morris did not play.
True.
So did Yamahimi, but we already talked about him later. Nothing really new there, per se. And then four, the backup point guard situation, which for those of you who didn't see what happened, I'm going to leave it as a mystery. You'll have to listen to see what happened.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
What a teaser. Who could it be?
What a tease. All right, so we're going to talk about all that here. Of course, if you want to hear all the other podcasts throughout this road trip, the debacle of the end game in Brooklyn, go find us on iTunes. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Ben Standick, he is at Todd_Divas. And, yeah, that's enough of that. All right, so they won. They had lost two in a row. They had just come back home from a 5-game road trip. I always think that first game back after a road trip is tricky, especially when it's the back-to-back. And then even to some degree, you're integrating Wall back into the situation. He'd, of course, been out 9 games with a knee injury. Then you don't have Morris, so that shuffled the lineup even further. Mike Scott started, also no Mahimi, so it pushed Jason Smith up more in the rotation. So that's not an excuse. I'm just saying that's added to sort of the awkwardness that they've been kind of going through, and their play continue to sort of be, you know, the game actually reminded me of their season, right? They get up,
sure.
They had stretches where they were cruising, they're up 17 points at one point, and before I could even think to tweet about it, the lead was down to, they were losing, and then in the fourth quarter they have a 13-0 run, and then before I think the game was over, Memphis got it back down to three, and then Beal and Oubre hit back-to-back threes, and that put it away, but it was all over the place, not pretty throughout. Scott Brooks said he was happy. Good for him. I don't know if I share the same sentiment, but nonetheless, they did win. What was your primary takeaway of the game itself?
That time we spent watching the first half, we will never get that back. Anyone who is watching will never get that time back.
I mean, Memphis scored
29
points in the first half.
In the first half. So a little more than a point per minute for an NBA team for a half. Yeah, that was brutal. Even Scott Brooks, when he sat down here post-game, unprompted, mentioned that the game was akin to watching paint dry, which I thought was an interesting thing for an NBA coach to say.
And by the way,
without being asked anything. Just
right.
Walking in, and this is my opening statement, is ugh.
And let's just add this. You guys obviously know what's up with the Wizards. Memphis, with this loss, has lost 16 of 17. Looking at their lineup, they have Marc Gasol and then a bunch of guys named Mo. I mean, they didn't even have, like, Tyreke Evans didn't play.
Right.
They were missing a ton of guys. So I get why they stink, or they struggle, or they look like paint, the equivalent of
good thing they got rid of Fizdale. Thank God for that.
All right, that's
great move as you take the express train to the lottery and you fire a guy who so many people thought highly of. Maybe someone else should be removed from that equation if that's how they're going to run their franchise.
Yes, they've been getting rid of coaches over there at a pretty rapid pace. In any event, so that sort of adds a little bit of stink to the Wizards. Like, okay, you won, but just like some of these other games, it's getting too late. I mean, it got to the point where we almost had a game decided in the last minute again. But they were able to push it off.
I do think kind of some of those caveats you laid out when we first started talking here are valid. Everyone was kind of dead meat. Like anyone even associated who was on the trip and then, you know, and was in Brooklyn last night, then you're back here today. Everyone was waiting for tomorrow to arrive. It's just human nature. When they're going to be off, they're going to have a day off and be sleeping in their own bed. And if they're going to shoot, they're going to come and shoot around lightly on their own rims and see their family and all that stuff. So there was a large element of human nature to be battled tonight. I thought that was one of the interesting things that Beal said, was this was more a mental game than anything else. It was just, let's get through this, and then we're done, and we can kind of reset with a handful of games coming up here at home, including Sunday night, but we won't get to that yet.
And also, the Wizards missed 12 of 24 free throw attempts, which, you know, obviously it's, you know, I'm not saying it's a one-off per se, but, you know, obviously that's not going to happen every game, and that Brooks sort of pointed to that and said, look, we make, you know, we make a normal percentage of our free throws. This game isn't as close as...
Probably out of hand at some point, and
right,
there is no comeback. There's just a cruise.
And so, okay, so I think on some level we sort of maybe look at it like it's... The trip is over. They're now done their two games, their two swings out west. Mm-hmm. And I do think, of all people, actually, Drew Gooden is the one who pointed out the Mississippi pregame. He was here doing the Wizards broadcast, for those of you who saw it. I got here super early because I'm a nerd, and Drew, he was here waiting for the TV crew, so we were talking.
Drew has a magical James Harden-level beard now as well. Not one hair follicle up top, but he, like, transferred them all out to his chin.
He also said his jumper is pretty wet right now, and if the Wizards call with that open roster spot, he's ready to go. But he said, look, he never as a player had two road trips this early in the season. And
two West Coast wings,
right? And to get that out of the way, then factoring in Wall's been out, Markieff has been banged up. He was taking the more positive spin on it. I mean, this is pregame, but he was taking more of the positive spin on it. And I think after thinking about it, I think there's something to that. I know doing this podcast is the relentless thing here. It's like every game is like, ugh, they don't look that great. Ugh. But when you look at the bigger picture, I think there is something to that. I'm not trying to be too pie in the sky here, but because of, you know, the continuity was a big thing coming into the year, and they've almost had none of it because Morris missed those games early. Now Wall's been out a bunch. The trips are weird. So maybe we can look at this game, maybe, and be like, okay, now going forward,
right,
can they start to get some momentum going? That's my rare moment of optimism.
Yeah,
in life,
I think
we'll
get part of an answer on Friday, because as you and I were both asking players after the game about what's up with your good record against good teams and your bad record against bad teams. And, like, when Beal was asked, he kind of, like, made a face, you know, aware of that they're up for good teams and then what they've been doing against bad teams. So Friday night against the Clippers, concerning what happened in Los Angeles and their current state, you would think would be something that...
Especially they just lost to them. I mean, you right. would think you'd be like, hey, I find they were a bad team, but they're a bad team, just beat you.
Right. And let's handle that swiftly for once. And then be prepared and go into Sunday, kind of really try to get our act
against
together.
LeBron. I mean, right. the Clippers game is the ideal trap game, other than the fact that the Wizards have not been playing well enough to be trapped, right, and they just right. lost to the Clippers. So hopefully they get to some momentum there. All right, let's move to the second point. We've touched on it a little bit. John Wall did play. I don't think he wasn't the guy who was the fastest player in the league with the ball. He was maybe a little more picking his spots a little bit. He said his knee didn't bother him. He said he didn't think about it much, because that's if he does, he shouldn't even be out there. But he did have two moments in particular that showed, okay, he looks pretty good. One, in the second quarter, he outscored Memphis 9-0 by himself and had a big dunk drive into the hoop, got up high for that one. And then in the fourth quarter, right after that stretch where they kind of put Memphis away a little bit, Chandler Parsons went up for a dunk, and Wall like did the thing where he like, you know, blocks the guy's shot. And he got, but this wasn't one coming from behind. He was coming right from an angle and got him right at the rim. Really, the replay is really cool. So that showed that, okay, he's feeling pretty good, all things considered. So that was positive. So, you know, all things, you know, first game back, all that. Also, again, I feel like I should stop mentioning the plus minus caveat. That's not a great stat, because you guys have heard this 100 times, but I'm going to say it one more time.
Not a great stat. I'll say it for you.
But he did finish with the best plus minus today, plus 11. So you know, indication.
Well,
to some
degree.
Well,
if anyone should have had some juice tonight, it's the guy who didn't play the entire road trip.
And he played 28 minutes. He was on something of a minutes restriction, kind of, to some degree, where Brooks said it would be. So that's what he did today.
Yeah, it was fine. He was fine. Spurts of himself. I thought there was one possession where he tried his post-up stuff, and he got to the other side of the rim and it just kind of shot it over the rim, but thought he was fouled, so he was mad and he was arguing up and down the floor. And coming back, he just hit the gas and went right to the rim and got a call. Like, that's the guy that we've seen all these days. So, in the pin on Parsons, that was sick. Parsons was going baseline and trying to cram it, and Walt came down the lane and pinned it on the square. Clean as could be, too. The photo, usually in those photos, you see like a bit of hand or a bit of something here or there, and that was just straight ball stuck to the glass. Your point guard pinning a guy, continues to amaze Scott Brooks, I can tell you that. After the game, Scott, career, I don't think he had many pins during his time in the NBA, so he's rightfully amazed when John does that.
It is interesting. I'm just looking at the box score. He played 28 minutes. That's fourth among the starters. He also yet took the most shots of anybody on the team. So he wasn't shy about getting it up, and maybe, that's a different conversation to have because, Bradley Beal had 18 points. Memphis was doing a pretty good job of denying him, but he hit two threes.
Yeah, they were double teaming. I think he hit three threes in the fourth. I think he was a bit tired too. I mean, that was a hellacious road trip for him.
And he
so much to handle, and they were basically doing what other teams were doing, kind of blitzing him and even zoning up underneath.
Right, and he played also 39 minutes. Now, somebody who played no minutes was Markieff Morris. We've been talking a lot about, hey, they got to get more out of him. He's been, we've talked about, look, he has said previously that his ankle's been bothering him. We knew about the surgery, hernia surgery. But when we've asked, Scott Brooks, hasn't previously mentioned too much about the injury. And, the last few games, the last couple games, you were out in LA, and he said it after that game of like, hey, we need more from some of these guys. He was pretty, he sounded pretty irate. For him, it was about as perturbed, maybe is a better, I raised a little much.
Yeah.
And then some of that carried over with after the Brooklyn game. And, he didn't name names, but it seemed kind of obvious to look at a guy like Morris, who had one rebound in 18 minutes against the Nets.
Well, in Los Angeles, it was obvious that it was Morris because of the rotation. He came out with 7:50 to play in the third quarter and didn't go back in in a close game.
And
in
the last two games, he's been playing in the fourth quarter.
And Mike Scott was on fire, so that made that decision a lot easier as well.
So I told Todd I was kicking myself because in pregame we asked a lot about Wall. Is he going to start all that? And I kept thinking to myself, boy, I wonder should I ask if there's any other starting lineup changes. Wussed out, didn't do it. And then right before the game starts, we get the lineup information. Sure enough, Mike Scott starting, Markieff Morris out with a sore hip.
Yeah.
Okay. Post-game then, Brooks says that Morris was complaining about his ankle.
And had a groin thing.
Then later clarified added a groin thing. So
he's going for a ear, eyes, and nose check next. So we'll see what comes of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I need to actually get one of those.
Especially after Wall sneezed on half of us during
post-game. Exactly. So look, something's been going on with him. If he's legitimately hurt, then they got to figure out what to do. If they got to shut him down for a few games to make it right, so be it.
Well, he said afterward that he's going to play Friday, and he quote ain't tripping, which is a phrase I commonly use in my day-to-day life. But so when I just quickly walked out with him, and he said he was fine. For what's that? Whatever that is worth, we'll see what that actually means come Friday. But he said, I asked him to play on Friday, and he said he indicated yes in so many words.
So,
we'll see if that's actually accurate. He has a tendency to just say, yeah, I'm always going to play, and then sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Wall will do the same thing, and then he gets an injection, isn't he?
Right.
Well, I take it at their word that he's not feeling well and a little bit hurt or whatever. I also will say that pregame, and I think I said this before, if Brooks feels the way he feels about Morris, if that's the guy, you know, at least one of the guys he was pointing to as like not giving enough, then sit him. I mean, because you can't go 18 minutes and get one rebound. If he's hurt, then okay, then don't play him. But if you're going to play him, then you got to do something. And, you know, I'm not advocating benching him. I'm just saying sit him down. Mike Scott's been doing fine. He, you know, I would have kept Mike Scott with the second unit and keep that unit going, but whatever. You know, Jason Smith does Jason Smith things. He gives you a lot of energy. He beats up the other team, literally, as he did at times tonight, getting physical with Memphis. So if they sat him because of the injury, fine. If maybe they decided, well, we're going to sit you and we'll say Andrew had an injury. I'm not saying that's what they did. I'm just saying whatever the reason was they decided to sit him, that's fine. I guess it's all relative, though. What does he play like going forward? If he continues to play somewhat meh, or as DJ Swearinger might say, blah, then, then Scott Brooks is going to have a dilemma here. Because I do think he is the one guy starting left that's kind of hard to replace. Mike Scott should not start for this team and play heavy minutes because at some point limitations get exposed. Defensively, he's not that good. They need Morris to step in there, especially the game on Sunday against LeBron. He's easily their best hope of slowing down LeBron a little bit. So instead of just getting 57, he gets 27.
37.
Okay. So, you know, they need him, not just for these couple games. They need him for this season to make this push. Sure. So we'll obviously we'll have to see what this looks like going forward.
Yeah, to get their act together and start moving forward rapidly, like we keep seeing hints that that's about to happen. It feels like it's about to happen at certain stages, right? And then something happens again. So, yeah, they need him to be the way. Remember we talked about him and Brooks having the film session in the next couple games. Morris played really well, and then that petered out for whatever reason. So that really well portion, that needs to be an extended period, especially now with Wall back. You appear to have figured out that Satoransky is a solid backup point guard. Mike Scott has played well. You know, and Mahimi, just like last year, he was just finding his rhythm and having his most productive games, and then he had a knee problem again. So if you get him squared away, then you're finally going to seemingly be intact for a little bit and stop this, you know, win two, lose one, win one, lose two, play poorly against bad teams and blow a bunch of big leads carousel that they've been on so far.
I'm sure you mentioned the film session. I'm sure at some point, you know, it gets a little old just looking at the game tape. So maybe Brooks and Morris need to, like, pick a Netflix series and just, like, binge watch it together, you know, just to keep that going because that did work, but it's been weird since. So we'll see what happens if he's ready to go. Last but not least, most important thing that we've all been waiting to see with John Wall back, what does Scott Brooks do with the point guard rotation behind him? Now, this is going to be breaking news, but the take of this podcast is that it should be Tomas Satoransky pretty much without hesitation because he's played a lot better and the second unit's played a lot better.
And also, he has a future with the team, presumably. So
yeah, lots of reasons. It gives you energy, versatility, all that. Pre-game, we asked Scott Brooks, hey, after he said Wall wasn't playing, what's the plan? He goes, eh, we'll see. You know, matchups, who knows. What he said was he'll play.
Yes, he's playing. But
not necessarily 100% at point guard.
Correct.
Okay, right. Fantastic. So then the game starts, and the first up of the game is Satoransky, and he actually came in for Wall, who only played the first, like, 6 minutes of the game. Great. That's good news. But then there was points where Frazier also played, and Sato was more off the ball. Mm-hmm. This was not this wasn't, like, amazing Sato.
And then Sato was in foul trouble very early,
He also landed hard on his wrist at one point. And he said he started grabbing at it and had to have the trainers look at it. He said it felt a little tight. But he thinks it'll be okay. So he said, we'll see you in the morning. So I guess ultimately the end result was positive that Brooks put him in first. It's frustrating that he just won't come out, just like when you ask about why are you going to play Jason Smith? Absolutely. And then he doesn't play for 10 games. Obviously you're a coach. You can't worry about what you say to us. You gotta worry about your locker room and you have to figure out how you're going to do stuff. If actions speak louder than words and you put Sato in first, that's great. But when you get everybody back and you no more of this. You know, Morris is back. Wall's ready. Mahimi's ready. Whatever it is, it's got to be Satoransky with the backups. That, anything else to me would be just weird. I mean, he's been a 10-man rotation guy. Frazier is going to be 11th.
Yeah. No, I agree. Just to circle back to one thing you kind of mentioned there was what Brooks says to us. I'm almost at a point where the conspirator in me would think that he's saying specific things to us, anticipating that his guys or someone his guys know are going to stumble across it on social media when sure. we go boom and put it out there. Obviously, like a lot of coaches or managers, he doesn't single out people, especially in negative situations, you know. But the non-committal, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we do hear him say this. Everyone has to stay on their toes. Sometimes I'm going to change up the rotation, X, Y, Z, you always got to be ready. And then that makes me think of the Jason Smith scenario where he says he's got to get Jason in there, and then he doesn't play for several games, and then he's non-committal to Satoransky strictly as a backup point guard, and then he uses him in that role for the first time after he was out of the rotation. So it's an interesting back and forth with him, and just as you said, this distinct, singular, positive development here is that Satoransky was used as the backup point guard tonight. Presumably, he's going to be used as the backup point guard going forward until he plays himself out of that spot.
And this ties in with I don't know if we said this on the air before, but John Wall made the point that the whole time he's been here, like literally his whole career, the Wizards have not been able to get their starters and their bench simultaneously playing. Well, and I said, you mean like the last 2 years? He goes, no, like 7 years. And he's not wrong, but that's what it feels like. If the starters can, with Wall back, and get going, they've got to get Morris going too, and this bench plays like they have these last 7 or 8 games, forget 15 and 13. The Wizards could all of a sudden look like a team that's on their pace for 50 wins because there's a lot to like.
They could suddenly look like the team everyone expected them to look like when before the season began.
And so we'll see.
Including themselves, which I think is part of the equation here.
Absolutely. So we'll see. But obviously a lot depends on, you got to get these guys healthy, you got to get them to play hard. Brooks has got to maybe stop using some certain combinations, like the double no point guard again that he did today after saying he wouldn't. Anyway, all that. By the way, he did say one thing that was really interesting in the post game. He was asked about the play of the bench overall the last couple weeks. And he said, yes, they played well. That's why he's used them late in games. And then he said, quote, if you're sad you're not getting minutes, I feel for you. I wasn't necessarily looking at his face. So I don't think, though, he was saying that like 100% joke. I think he was saying that for real because he said something similar to this previously. Did you not catch that? Or
I haven't transcribed it, so I'm going to keep my comment. Did you transcribe that? Or did
I did it, get it standing here in the room.
Okay. So, so I thought he had put a not in there or a negative of some point, kind. So, but I'll go back and listen.
But anyway, so we're going to wrap this up while I look for this quote. You got any final thoughts here before we close up?
Thank God tonight's over.
I found the quote. Quote, if you're sad that you're not getting minutes, I feel for you. I want guys to play hard. That's why we have a good bench. Guys can play hard and get the rest and cheer their team on. I don't necessarily know that it has any context with this game because of the fact that there were a bunch of guys out. But in the last few games, I think there is some context there. Basically, I don't know who he's saying is potentially complaining about minutes.
And keep hearing hints about shots and who's taking what.
Right. So, you know, we can maybe guess on a few things, but, you know, we don't like to guess here. We like to give you the straight, skinny, based on hard fact-finding reporting sort of. All right, I'm done. You got anything else?
No, I do not. Looking forward to Sunday. Hopefully that kind of gets the season going. The season's just kind of
By the way,
so long so far.
By the way, Thursday.
And I missed the first time. I wasn't here for the 57-point game.
Yeah, you missed that one. Thursday, DeAndre Jordan. Tuesday, Boogie Cousins. I mean, this is like the trade machine wet dream here for Wizards people, right? I mean, you can't get more than that.
Wow. NBC Sports Washington may melt down.
Oh, God, yeah. They got a blog post the hell out of this. All right, that's it. Good luck, everybody out there. Hang tight. The Wizards will figure this out, and if they don't, we'll just keep podcasting about it anyway. All right, until next time, see ya.
Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Home run, low-level shot. Dagger!